Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes, He is.
At some point, I'm learning that you just have to go with what you know. Right? I know God is good. And I had a lesson. And I printed it out. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. And He just changed it. So I don't know how it's going to go. It's going to go. Because I'm telling you, I printed it out. I said, okay, this is good. This will work. And He just changed it on me. So faith is stepping out, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. Amen.
That's faith. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to step out, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. Amen.
Amen.
Just believing that God is going to have His way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to be sharing from 1 Samuel chapter 17. God has been speaking to me. Because sometimes I get a little, you know me. I get nervous when I have to speak and teach and all that other stuff. So God said, how long are you going to play that card? And I said, I kept hearing, how long are you going to play that card? You keep saying that. You keep saying that. I said, well, Lord, I'm not like such and such. I'm not like. And that's why I get like that, because I compare myself to others, namely my husband. But I'm not like, I can't talk like that. He said, how long are you going to say that? Just do what I called you to do. You can't do what somebody else is supposed to do. You can only be you. You can't be him and you and this person and that. You can only be you. You just be you. So that's what I am. So I was going to share about, in that regard, God was telling me about serving Him. And so that's what I was going to talk about. I had this lesson that I set up. I'm sure you, this book, Getting a Grip on the Basics, right? And a long time ago, God showed this book to me. It was hidden somewhere in my closet, and I found it. And it had this lesson on servanthood. So I said, oh, that's a good lesson. So I was going to teach about serving God and talk about how to be a servant. And God basically said to serve Him the way He tells you to serve Him. You
know,
there's a guideline, sort of, because you have to do things God's way. Yeah. But we have to serve Him the way that He tells us to serve Him, and not just the way we want to or the way we feel comfortable. And I guess my comfort was this little lesson plan that I drew up and just scratched. So thank God for notes, so He let me have my little notes. But let's pray, and then we'll just do what God says.
Amen.
Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless Your name, O God. We thank You, O God, for bringing us to this place once again, O God, another Wednesday that You've allowed us to see, O God. It's our happy hour of our study, O God, and we won't only be happy, we'll be joyful, O God, as we learn of You, O God. We thank You, O God, that You are our teacher, O God, that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth, O God, and that You will open up the Scriptures to our understanding, O God, and help us to receive what thus saith the Lord to us tonight, O God. Father God, have Your way in this place, have Your way in me, O God. You said where two or three are joined together, You are in the midst, O God. We thank You that You are with us, O God, right now in the name of Jesus, sharing Your word, just dwelling with us, O God. And we give You the praise for it all right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So 1 Samuel 17, and it's a familiar chapter. It's the chapter of David and Goliath. And but as I was reading this one day, certain things just jumped off the page to me. So what God wanted me to share is just to read, and then we'll just see what jumps off the page. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So let's just start reading. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David and Goliath, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shechem, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Azekah in Ephesdemon."
Okay.
"And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." I want to stop here for a second, and this isn't even part of my notes. So, but praise the Lord. Because we talk about David and Goliath a lot. And we, you know, we say how big Goliath was, and nobody wanted to fight him, you know, and mostly because of his size. But, you know, in looking at this, it wasn't just the size, you know. In describing what he had on, you know, just imagine, you're looking at this huge figure, right, over 9 feet tall, supposedly, right, in our terms, 9 feet tall, right? And he has, almost 10 feet tall, it says in the Amplified Version, verse 4. And then he has, verse 5, it says, "And he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of mail. And the coat weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze." So he's not just big. He has on a brass coat. So I would be kind of scared to fight him. Like, who can hit, who can actually hurt bronze? You know, trying to punch him or whatever. Forget the height. Just try to punch some wood. You can't, you know. So your knuckles will be destroyed, right? Look, so I'm looking at that, like, right?
What, they're going to spear?
Oh, yes. And the spear.
Like, 600.
Right, that too. They say he had bronze armor on his legs and the spear. The spear was bronze. The javelin. So just imagine that. This is what they saw. Can you not blame them for not wanting to fight him? Like, okay. You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And then it says, "And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam." I don't exactly know what a weaver's beam is. But his spear's head, just the head, because you know a spear has a point.
Mm-hmm.
So just the head weighed 600 shekels of iron. So you're looking at this figure, this big man, nearly 10 feet tall. He has all this metal all over him. Like, how in the world are you going to fight against that? So you can't really, we laugh at them sort of, you know, because we say, oh, but David was a little boy, he came up and he shot him down. But there was something to be afraid, you know, about. Just look, well, that's why we're not supposed to look with our natural eyes, because things will scare us, you know. And that is certainly a sight, you know, to see this big old giant. So I just had to point that out. Okay. Now, verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines have put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So David heard them. I'm going to stop right there. Because the word them in the King James Version is italicized. So it's emphasizing that David heard what this giant was saying. And it caught his attention, like, okay. Yeah, okay. So when David heard what he was saying, it probably caused him to meditate on it for a second. Say, consider what he was saying. Like, who can defy me? You know, how he was challenging them. And it must have caught in David's spirit, and like, okay, who does this man think he is? Or maybe the Spirit of God rose up in David at that point, you know? It had to, but David had to meditate and chew on that for a second, because the words are italicized, so it says he heard them. So those words meant something to him. And it's funny, because when we hear words that mean something to us, we do. Sometimes it does captivate us. And it does cause us to stop and reflect on what is being said. Right?
Yes.
And it may cause us even to have a reaction to it. So, when we know how David reacted. So, let's continue reading. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Sore. Natural eyes. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And this is one of the scriptures that jumped off to me. This is verse 25. Because Saul, in the Amplified Version, it says, surely he who has come out to defy Israel, and the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes and service in Israel. So
Saul, the king, was willing to reward anybody who would kill this giant. And he was giving him a good thing. He was giving him his daughter, whoever killed this king. Saul was willing to give him his daughter and to free him from taxes. So that person wouldn't have to pay any more taxes. That person wouldn't have to give any more service to the king. If he was working in one way, he wouldn't have to work anymore. So Saul was offering a nice reward for somebody willing to kill this giant. Mm-hmm. You look like you have a thought.
No? Well, I think, I don't know whether they negotiated in days, but I think he would have given them a lot more than that.
Oh. That's true. Yeah, he's out there making a fool out of them. it could not have gone too well with Saul.
No.
But he said, King Saul had said that he will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage. And it's funny because back then they didn't really have a choice of who they would marry, you know? So it's funny that so King Saul was going to give away his daughter, you know? You were given in marriage. So King Saul was going to give away his daughter, you know, to be married. And it would also be exempt, the whole family would be exempt from paying taxes. Imagine that one. If somebody gave us a deal, if you do this, you don't have to pay any more taxes. You don't have to, people would joke at that opportunity. Why did I have to pay no more taxes? Yeah, but you got to slaughter this king first. So, oh gosh. Anyway, we should be thankful for the time that we live in right now, because we can't just be giving away in marriage. That's another thing, you know, because Saul was just giving away his daughter in marriage. So women right now should be sorted well in this country, should be thankful that we can't just be giving away in marriage. Anyway, so Saul said that he would do that for the one who gets rid of Goliath. And then we know the rest of the story because David heard of this. And he didn't necessarily hear what Saul said he was going to do, but he heard. Remember, the scripture says he heard what the giant said. And that sparked something in him. It planted a seed. So David was the one that came and, okay, you know, he went up against the giant. Anyway, so let's finish reading. We are at verse number
26.
And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, but thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And what that means is that in verse 30, in the Amplified Version, it says, and David turned away from Eliab to another, and he asked the same question. And again, the man gave him the same answers. And when David's words were heard, they were repeated to Saul, and he sent for him. Now, I have to stop here for a second. Because David, the brother, Eliab, was accusing David of coming up there to be nosy. Right. I guess he was a boy, right? Mm-hmm. He said, you coming up here to be nosy. You coming up here to cause mischief. You want to see what's going on. You ain't coming up here for no other reason. But in actuality, his father sent him up there to give them food, right? Make sure they were okay. That's what his father said. Give this to your brothers. Make sure they're okay. And that's why David left the sheep and he went up there. But it's, you know, we could be minding our business. We could go, because we go there because we were sent. And people get the wrong idea and they say, what you here for? What you doing here? You know? And we're there because somebody sent us there. God sent us there. Somebody else might have, pastor might have sent us there. You know, your mother might have sent us. Somebody else sent you there, but you're just there because you just want to be obedient to what somebody's telling you to do. And if people don't like you, they're gonna pick at you just for that, just for you being there, because they don't want you around. But that's what they did.
Particularly in this case, because if I was Saul, I don't want anybody seeing, hearing this person say those words, and I'm not responding. I'm not taking up the challenge, so I don't want any witnesses to
that's
this.
True. That doesn't make him look bad, right? And this little boy is going to say something, and I'm not even saying, yeah, you're right. He was probably feeling bad himself, mm-hmm. You know, feeling guilty because he didn't do anything, yeah. You know? Wow, but that's, you know, that's just people. But David went up there because his father sent him there. For no other reason. Okay. Verse 32. That's what I am, right? And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So here we have David voluntarily. And that's because of this seed that was planted. Thy servant. I'm going to go up there and fight. Okay. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And I just want to stop there for a second, because David volunteered to go. And immediately Saul said to David, you can't go. You're just a little boy. And that's the thing. We can't listen to people telling us what to do if we feel the Spirit of God rising up in us. Mm-hmm. You know? Especially since David was already meditating on this word, those words that the giant was saying. And if he had listened to what Saul said, it would have stopped him from going against this giant and from God revealing his glory in this situation. So we have to be careful not to listen when people say, you know, if God puts in us, we can do certain things. We cannot let people say, you can't. You can't go. You can't do this. You're not able. You're not equipped. You don't have the right, whatever. No, don't. Talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. So that's what David did. He said, talk to the hand. I'm going. Right?
But you know, people who love you don't want you to be hurt.
That's true.
So they think they're giving you good advice. And they may think they're giving you the best advice they can, because they don't want to see you get hurt in any way, whether it be physical, mental, whatever. But they don't understand when God's told you to do something, you have to obey. You have to do it.
You just got to do it.
Yeah.
If it's in you, you just got to do it. Mm-hmm. But you're right. People do love you. Sometimes people do love you, and they will speak not knowingly. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't mean you any harm. Mm-hmm. But even those words, we still have to. Yeah. If we know that God has put in us, mm-hmm. You know. But sometimes people do give us warnings, and we do have to heed to those warnings of people that love us, mm-hmm. You know, but
yeah.
There are times when God is speaking to us, and we have to let his voice rise above the other ones.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So we know basically the end of the story with David, you know, goes against this giant and he just kills him with this slingshot. And the funny thing is that everybody's, you know, amazed, you know, that David did this. But what David did, he declared what God would do on the authority of God's word. And Pastor Doug is always talking about that we can't go on and do something without a word from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And David had this word, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, he was a child of God. And he wasn't going to let this Philistine stand in front of him and talk this nonsense. No, that was not going to happen. David had a word, and God brought that word to pass. I guess we should read it, though. We know everything else. Okay, let's read it. All right. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. Now, you see, that's funny, because Saul put on David the same thing that Goliath had. They are nowhere near the same size. So, really, even if David had that armor on, that wasn't going to help him. That armor was not going to help him, even if it fit him. That's a funny thing. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And what David was saying was that he's not used to these things. They're too big for him. He said, I haven't worked in these things before. I can't wear these things. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So Goliath was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was offended that David sent this little boy to come and try to kill him. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. See, David knew who had his back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care what you got. He named him, named his pieces. I don't care what you got. I got God.
That's fake.
I know, that's some kind of fake. That's why I said, what I said at the beginning, God is so funny. Sometimes you just got to go with what you know. David knew he had God, and he just went with what he knew.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, God is so good. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine hand head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So David was boasting on God. He said, this day God is going to deliver me, deliver you into my hand. And I'm going to cut off your head. And then he said, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that's what God does. God likes to reveal himself. And we speak about this all the time in the To the Glory of God devotional. He likes to reveal himself. He likes to reveal his goodness in the lives of men. So when you declare and you boast on his name, God is going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he likes to show himself. He likes to show his goodness. He likes for us to believe in him. And when we show that we have that trust and belief in him, God shows up. And David was boasting. He was boasting in the Lord. And God showed up. And it's a funny thing about when you believe God and you boast in him and you tell people, oh, my God's going to do this and my God's going to do that, you know, and you brag about he's going to do this,
mm-hmm.
God does it.
Yeah.
Because he says, look at my child. Look at my child. I remember I remember I wanted this car, Nissan Altima, so bad. I wanted this car so bad. I used to talk about this car all the time. We used to drive everywhere. We used to have this game, me and the kids, where we would count the Nissan Altimas that we saw. Every time we saw them, we would count the Nissan Altimas. I said, I'm going to get this car. I'm going to get this car. God's going to give me this car. And I remember one time that we were going to Virginia, and I went to rent a car to drive to Virginia. It was a women's conference. And it was they gave me a brand new Nissan Altima. It only had like 38 miles on it. Wow. It was burgundy, and that's what they gave me as a rental. And I said, this is God giving me my car. Everybody's laughing at me like, this woman is crazy. She's crazy about this car. But I said, this is God giving me this car. This car. I know God's going to give me this car. He allowed me to test drive it. I was used to say that, you know. And then we got to the women's conference, and this woman said something to me. She made a prophecy, and she said that God's going to give you what you asked for. And it made me run around the church, and I said, oh, Lord Jesus, He's going to give me this car. And, you know, within the next couple of weeks, I know it was, my husband took me outside, and he said, I want you to see your car sitting in the driveway. And right before Christmas, he bought me a blue Nissan Altima. So God is good, but that came from boasting in him and believing that God is going to do it. You know, he gave me a vision, and I know, and that's what the thing, though, you have to know that it's God. And when you know that it's God, you know that he spoke to you, you hold on to that promise like you can't hold on to anything else. And you say, God's going to do this, God's going to do this. And you brag on him and you post on him and you show him that you believe in him and you believe what he said. And he shows up. And that's exactly what David did. He said, I believe God. God's been with me. I don't know nothing else but God. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this giant. I know who I believe in, and I know he's going to show up, and God did. And that's because Goliath was dead. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. See, and that's emphasized, italicized too, in the King James Version. There was no sword. So they let you know, David did not have a weapon like Goliath did. He did this by the power of God. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharan, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. They took everything they had. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this you? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Amen. So that's a wonderful ending. Because when people see us declare God and God shows himself faithful in our situation, They're going to want to know who you are. Who is this person? You know, and that's what Saul is. Who is he? Who is this little boy? Who does he belong to? You know, and he wanted to find out who David was. And then he found out. You know, he went and asked David, I am the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem. So God is good. We have to brag on him, you know, trust in him, believe on him. You know, we have a word from him. We need to move on it. And we show him that we believe him when we move on his word. Because Goliath was dead in that situation. Goliath was dead as soon as David had that thought in his head, because he chewed on that thought. It didn't happen until a few verses later that he met up with Goliath. But that thought was planted. And David was able to kill Goliath in God's spirit. Okay. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. And one other thing, we have to know that just like Saul was willing to reward whoever killed this giant, you know, God looks for people too. Mm-hmm. God looks for people that's going to believe on him and believe his word, and he will reward them when they do. So we have to keep that in mind. And God gives better gifts than Saul does.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Yes, he does. And you know, we all have our Goliath too.
Oh, yes.
We all run into our Goliath.
I
remember when I wanted to go into business, I would talk my oldest brother, my parents are gone, so I would speak to my oldest brother. He said, no, you've got a great job. I was director of an insurance company at that time. He said, what are you, crazy? You've got a great job. You're director of the 17th largest insurance company in the country. Why would you go into business for yourself? So I said, well, maybe you're right. And that went on for a couple of years. Finally, God said, go into business. So I went to my brother and I said, look, I need to. He said, don't do it. You're really crazy. You've got this job. So, but I went into business and God has rewarded me. But everybody has something.
Yes.
More than one usually is Goliath to go up against.
Yes. Yes. I think we all have Goliaths, and we all have Goliaths continually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might have one that comes up today, and we might have another one that comes up for years later.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you talk about your brother trying to talk you out of it. There's mm-hmm. always going to be somebody that tries to talk us out of it. You know, but if we know God said go, we mm-hmm. need to go.
Yeah.
Because God honors faith.
Yes, he does.
He does. Yeah. God honors faith. And we continue to believe in him and brag on him and show him that we believe in, because we can't just say we believe him. We have mm-hmm. to act on that belief. You know, that will cause us to move towards the thing that God is speaking. So if we say we believe, then we need to act like we believe
mm-hmm.
and talk about it
mm-hmm.
and declare God's goodness. And God's going to step in and he's going to slay our giant and
mm-hmm.
do all those things for us. And God is amazing. I love the Lord. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. God is good. And that's all. We shall close.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name again, God, because you are good and you are faithful, God. And Father, we just love you, oh God, and we just believe you, oh God. And Father, we're just going to continue to stand on your word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for this lesson tonight. We thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts again, oh God, for renewing our faith even more, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and help us to remember, just to trust in you, oh God, and to believe and to stand on your word, oh God, and even, oh God, to tell of your goodness, oh God, so that your glory can be revealed, oh God, in the earth, oh God, just as you did with David, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the giants in our life, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that they're already slain, oh God, according to our faith, oh God, and according to our God. And we just bless you for that, oh God. And Father, as we leave this place tonight, oh God, let's pray that you would just go with us, oh God, that you would even just go before us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to smooth out the crooked paths, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Make our way safe, oh God, tonight, in the name of Jesus, oh God, and greet us as we walk back into our homes tonight, oh God, and just continue to bless us with your presence, oh God, and give us sweet rest, oh God. And Father, we bless you and we thank you, oh God, for everything that you've done, that you continue to do, oh God. And we give you the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.